Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Seeker, your host for the program, so blessed and honored to be here with you today. Thanks so much for joining me as we begin this month of June, which is dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And what a very special first weekend of the month this is, with the celebration of the most holy body and blood of Christ, the Feast of Corpus Christi, this Sunday. We are reminded of God's ultimate gift of love, how He dwells body, blood, soul, and divinity, His Sacred Heart beating for love of us in the most holy Eucharist, and how He is present to us day and night in this most sublime and august sacrament of the altar. And we can hear those words, "This is my body given up for you," echoing within our hearts as we draw near to this sacrament of love. Everything that the Eucharist is and stands for runs counter to the thinking of the world, which basically says, "This is my body, and I will not give it up for you." Such is the language of abortion. But the Eucharist is selfless love. It's a pure gift of self-donation of the Lord Himself to us, His lowly creatures, and we are called to imitate that love. The Eucharist also requires the gift of faith. To the senses, it appears to be bread and wine, but by faith, we know that it is God Himself, and so we kneel in adoration and in great reverence. And Christians are called to look beyond appearances. As Father Frank Pavone has stated many times, if we can see Christ in the host, then we can also begin to see Him in the poor, the weak, the terminally ill, and the baby in the womb. This child is hidden behind the veil of the womb, much as Christ is hidden behind the veil of the Eucharist. Faith takes us beyond appearances, and we can say, "There is my brother, my sister, for whom Christ died." Even at the moment of conception, when this child is a single cell, we are not deceived by appearances, Father Frank says. He or she is one of us, equal in dignity. We accept Christ by accepting him or her. The late Father John Harden said that the Holy Eucharist must be the center of the pro-life movement and that it is foundational to fostering the Christian family and in rebuilding a Christian civilization. Father Harden, who used to give a lot of conferences and retreats for those involved in the pro-life movement, once said that God has something very important to teach us from the cosmic evil of abortion. He wants to teach us, Father Harden said, that He, the God-man, is on earth, in our midst, in the Holy Eucharist, and He wants us to come to Him and obtain from Him what only He can give, the light and strength to not only survive in this culture of death, but to actually even thrive as we go through our life here on earth en route to our heavenly homeland. Well, may we on this glorious weekend of the Feast of Corpus Christi grow ever more close to our Lord in the most blessed sacrament so that we can become more like Him as we go about our pro-life work in order to glorify Him and help save lives and souls. Let's pray together now using a prayer composed by Father Frank Pavone. This is my body given up for you. Lord Jesus, we hear your words each day at Mass. You have used these words to teach us the meaning of your love for us, a love that brought you to the cross to give your life so we might live. You use these words also to teach us the meaning of our love for one another, a love which leads us to give ourselves away that others might live. This is my body. Lord, we also hear these words used by those who think they can take life, just because that life is growing within their body. We hear these words distorted by those who support abortion. Grant that all your people may learn that human fulfillment is never found by pushing someone else out of the way, but only and always by pushing ourselves out of the way. May all your people live their lives according to your most sacred words. This is my body given up for you. And let's go now to this week's In the News. As the Supreme Court readies to hear the case on a Mississippi law that bans abortions after 15 weeks, the Susan B. Anthony List is launching a $2 million ad campaign that would provide public awareness on the humanity of the unborn. 5 decades of medical breakthroughs, the commercial begins, and every age group has more opportunity to live except one. The unborn still fall victim to outdated laws, the ad's narrator says as the ultrasound image of an unborn baby flashes across the screen. The ad continues, "Science tells us that at 15 weeks, these babies have fully formed faces. They smile, they yawn, they feel pain. Isn't it time the law reflects the science?" The spot concludes. So far, several networks like CBS, CMT, and the Hallmark Channel have rejected the ad, calling it controversial and unacceptable. The Global Times has announced that China is once again relaxing its coercive family planning policy to allow couples to have 3 children. The move comes in response to years of China's forced one-child policy, which has produced a problematic gender imbalance of too many men and not enough women, as well as an aging population with not enough able-bodied people to care for seniors. In 2016, China changed its original rules to allow for a couple to have as many as 2 children. But with the announcement of yet another relaxation, Reggie Littlejohn, founder and president of the human rights group Women's Rights Without Frontiers, said that China's latest move is nothing to celebrate because there will still be forced abortions. China should abolish all coercive population control. It is not the business of the Chinese Communist Party to allow couples or single women to have children of whatever number, Littlejohn said. A 3-child policy keeps the womb police in business. They will still be tracking women's fertility and birth and punishing those who find themselves illegally pregnant, she said. Since the Chinese Communist government began to enforce a 1-child policy, hundreds of millions of unborn lives have been murdered, many of which were later termed. And according to a 2020 Radio Free Asia report, an average of 8 million so-called extra pregnancies are aborted every year in China. And writing for the National Review, Wesley J. Smith is calling attention to a dangerous draft proposal that would amend the World Medical Association's ethical rules to require that physicians with a conscientious objection to an intervention refer patients to other physicians without any moral reticence. If adopted, those physicians who, for moral or religious reasons, are opposed to certain procedures like abortion, euthanasia, assisted suicide, prescribing puberty blockers, or transition surgeries would be required to make themselves complicit in the objectionable action. Smith says that the move would drive medical personnel with traditional Hippocratic values out of medicine and inhibit talented young people from even attending medical school to begin with. And finally, thanks be to God, no abortions were performed this past week at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Sidewalk advocates also noted another week of decreased foot traffic into the facility. Please keep praying that the Bloomington Planned Parenthood will be closed down for good and for the conversion of all those who work and patron there. And that's your weekly In the News. So by law, all abortion providers in the state of Indiana are required to submit to the Indiana State Department of Health what is called a termination of pregnancy report for every abortion that is performed, and it must be submitted no later than 30 days after each abortion is done. So, for every unborn child that is intentionally killed within the womb of his or her mother, this report is a sort of death certificate. Now, these reports are meant to provide some demographic information to the state, like how old the woman getting the abortion is, her race and ethnicity, how many previous abortions she's had, if any, how many living children she has, and how old the unborn baby was whose life she ended. The reports also state who the physician was that provided the abortion and whether it was a chemical or surgical one. At the end of the year, the state health department compiles all the information and releases what is called the Induced Termination of Pregnancy Report. It allows state officials to see who, demographically speaking, are getting abortions and how many there were. I wanted to review the numbers with you today so that you can see how many unborn children have been killed in Indiana during the first 3 months of this year as compared to this same time last year. I think it's good to be reminded of just how many children are being murdered under the guise of legal abortion so that we can stay motivated to pray, sacrifice, and live holy lives in order to help conquer this culture of death. So for the months of January, February, and March of this year, 2,094 termination of pregnancy reports were filed with the state health department. That means that 2,094 unborn children had their lives violently ended through abortion the first 3 months of this year. Here in Bloomington, 199 unborn children lost their lives at the Planned Parenthood facility right there on College Avenue. So about 9.5% of the total Indiana abortions for this year so far were done here in Bloomington. The Indianapolis Planned Parenthood on Georgetown Road is the busiest abortion center in the state, followed by Women's Med Center on Arlington Road in Indianapolis, and then the Clinic for Women, also in Indy. There is also a Planned Parenthood in Lafayette that does only chemical abortions, and there's also one in Merrillville that does close to the same amount that the one here in Bloomington does. Whole Women's Health in South Bend, which is fairly newly opened, does only chemical abortions around 35 or 36 a month. Unfortunately, some of the hospitals in Indy will also do a small number of abortions, and these are normally later term ones, which are more heavily regulated by the state. So that just gives you an idea of how many abortions have taken place here in Indiana so far this year and where they're occurring. And of course, there are probably many others, some of which do not get reported for whatever reason, as well as those women who turn to online dispensaries of the abortion pill. We just don't have a count for those. Now let's compare the numbers for this year so far with last year's. The total number of unborn children killed in Indiana last year in January, February, and March of 2020 was 1,903. So you can see that abortion numbers for the state are up rather significantly this year over last year with a 10% increase. But here in Bloomington so far, at least for the year, abortions have decreased significantly over last year by 18%. There were 243 abortions performed there at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood in the first 3 months of 2020. And for the first 3 months of 2021, that number dropped to 199. 199 is still a horrific figure, and that's 199 too many. But thanks be to God that there were not more. Ever since the legalization of abortion in Roe v. Wade back in 1973, Catholics and Christians have been fighting and praying hard to save the lives of the unborn and to get this horrific evil rooted out of society. And you know, so often it can feel like we're not making any difference. We're not getting anywhere. Babies keep dying, women's lives and souls are ruined, and general standards of morality just keep getting lower and lower. It's like we're sinking deeper and deeper into the pit. Well, this is when it's very important to remember some words that were spoken by the late and great Father John Hardin, who would frequently remind pro-lifers of the importance of their work. And one of the things that he would tell them is that it is imperative that they have a deep faith in the providence of God, and that this faith be modeled on the unshakable faith that the Blessed Virgin Mary had when she stood on Calvary, witnessing the author of life be murdered by his own creatures. Like Our Lady, Father Hardin said, we should expect miracles, because on that Good Friday, Our Lady expected them. She had faith that her Son was going to rise from the dead and that the gates of heaven would be opened wide for those souls who travel the narrow path here on earth. Amidst her great sorrow and suffering, she remained confident in God and trusted Him completely. And the highest miracle is not moving mountains, Father Hardin went on to say. It is moving human wills from self-idolatry to submission to the will of God. And this is the moral miracle that we should expect if we hope to convert a society in which innocent people are murdered, he said. What does it mean to imitate the faith of Our Lady, Father Hardin asked. It means we must believe without comprehending. We must believe against all human odds. We must believe that God has an all-wise purpose in permitting the anti-life crimes in the world today. We must trust that He will bring good, even greater good, out of greater evil. We must trust in God's providence, that where crime is so abundant, there God's loving mercy will be even more abundant. And I think we need to remember Father Hardin's words every day in these challenging times. We need to ask for the grace to become more like Our Lady especially when it comes to our faith. So even though total abortion numbers so far are up in Indiana over last year's, we must remain standing at the foot of the cross in front of these abortion centers, united with Our Lady, begging and hoping for miracles. And let's thank God for the hopeful signs that we are seeing right here in Bloomington. Well, another promising mark that we're noticing is this sense of urgency that we're starting to see among some of the U.S. bishops in regard to dealing with Catholic political leaders who are pro-abortion. Of particular note is a 17-page pastoral letter entitled, "Before I Formed You in the Womb, I Knew You," which was issued by Archbishop Salvatore Corleone of San Francisco on May 1st, the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker. The letter focuses on the human dignity of the unborn, Holy Communion, and Catholics in public life. Archbishop Corleone is U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's bishop. The Archbishop told many within the Catholic media that when he saw the Pew Research Center study that only 1/3 of U.S. Catholics agree with the Church that the Eucharist is really and truly the body and blood of Christ, and that the far majority don't believe in the real presence, well then, he said, he knew that something had to be done in order to begin correcting this. Catholics needed to be catechized. And a key component in all of this, he felt, was to teach more clearly the idea that one should not be receiving Holy Communion if they are not properly disposed, if they do not believe what the Church teaches. And then with the election of President Biden, that call became even more urgent, Archbishop Corleone says. And Archbishop Corleone is not alone. Recently, other bishops like Archbishop Nauman, Archbishop Aquila, Bishop Vasha, and Bishop Olmsted have also given statements or made public remarks on this issue. In mid-May, the online magazine First Things published a great letter from New Mexico Bishop James Wall, saying how Catholic bishops must speak out on this issue of publicly denying pro-abortion politicians the Eucharist for the care and salvation of souls, he said. Bishop Wall wrote, "Speaking the truth at times appears to create division, but often it simply exposes the division that already exists. If Catholics cannot agree on protecting the helpless unborn, then our unity is superficial at best and illusory at worst." He went on to write, "Back in 1988, the Bishops' Conference named abortion a preeminent threat. And in 2019, we reaffirmed that the threat of abortion remains our preeminent priority because it directly attacks life itself. Pro-abortion political leaders have not heeded these calls, and now we seek to apply the last remaining and most severe medicinal option we have, Eucharistic sanctions." Bishop Wall ended his commentary by saying that every bishop should ask himself, "Have I done absolutely everything I can as a bishop to try to bring all pro-abortion Catholic politicians in my flock back into a state of grace?" Wow, some very strong and solid words spoken there by a spiritual father of the Church, Bishop James Wall from Gallup, New Mexico. Now, I want to go back to Archbishop Corleone's pro-life pastoral letter, "Before I Formed You in the Womb, I Knew You," and just read you a few great passages from it. The Archbishop starts the letter off by acknowledging that we live in a throwaway culture, one that values profit, power, prestige, and pleasure over all else. This throwaway mindset fuels the serious damage inflicted on the environment, which especially adversely impacts the poor, Corleone writes. But when it is an innocent human being's very existence, a moral absolute, that is thrown away, it is a sign that a society has truly become severely disordered. Such is the plight of the unborn and the state of our society. The Archbishop goes on, "In 2023, our nation will mark the 50th anniversary of the infamous Roe decision. Generations of Americans have now grown up not knowing what it is like to live in a country that values and protects the lives of the smallest, most defenseless, and vulnerable members of its society. 50 years, over 60 million deaths, and many more millions of scarred lives later, it is time for a frank and honest reassessment. Abortion not only kills the child, it deeply wounds the woman. How could it not? The maternal instinct is very powerful. A mother will go to great lengths to protect her child. Indeed, how often have those of us in church ministry heard the lament of post-abortive women? I didn't want to go through with it, but I felt like I had no choice. This lament exposes the lie of the pro-choice slogan, the Archbishop writes. This is especially a time for us Catholics, whose faith calls us to advocate for the universal good of a consistent ethic of life in every stage and in every condition, to call our country back to respect for human life. And this is especially so for Catholics who are prominent in all walks of public life, entertainment, media, politics, education, the corporate world, and so forth, as they have such a powerful influence on shaping the attitudes and practices of people in our nation. Well, in the remaining pages, Archbishop Cordiglione addresses four topics: the necessity for Catholics and all people of goodwill to understand how gravely evil abortion is. Secondly, how to avoid sinful cooperation in this evil. Thirdly, how these principles apply to the question of Catholics and the reception of Holy Communion. And lastly, the special responsibility that Catholics prominent in public life have with regard to the common good. Now, I won't go thoroughly through each of these points, so I encourage you to look up the Archbishop's letter online because it's very good. Now, to the first point, understanding just how horrific abortion is. In this section of his letter, Archbishop Cordiglione appeals to natural law and science. Because an embryo is a unique and developing human organism, it follows that she or he possesses an inherent right to life from the moment of conception, he writes. Thus, the violent invasion of the act of abortion ends a human life. Likewise, he writes, those contraceptives which prevent implantation of the embryo are in fact abortifacients that kill an innocent growing human being. Archbishop Cordiglione then references the congressional testimony of Dr. Anthony Levitino when the former abortionist described in gruesome detail the procedure that is used in killing a 24-week-old unborn baby. Archbishop Cordiglione begins the second section, which is entitled Cooperation in Moral Evil, by writing, abortion advocates argue that they are empowering women, but in fact, the widespread practice of contraception and abortion have created a tremendous burden for women. Formerly, a woman who found herself with child in difficult circumstances relied on family, friends, and religious and social service organizations for support and assistance. There was a sense of shared responsibility, and very often the father of the child recognized his responsibility for the situation and would respond accordingly. Now, the contraceptive culture has changed all that. The pregnancy has become her problem. She should have prevented it from happening, and now she alone has to make the problem go away. Worse still, he writes, it is not uncommon for the very people who should help her, the father of the child, her family and friends, to encourage and even pressure her to have an abortion. This sad state of affairs brings me to my second point. Abortion is never solely the mother's act. Others, to a greater or lesser degree, share culpability whenever this evil is perpetrated. The Archbishop then goes on to explain the teaching on formal and material cooperation in evil, and how formal cooperation in evil is never morally justified. Material cooperation is further distinguished as immediate or mediate, and the good bishop gives examples of situations that individuals might find themselves in that require some careful reflection and honest appraisal in order to determine whether a specific remote cooperation act may be permissible or not. Along with formal cooperation, immediate material cooperation in an evil is never morally justified. Section 3 addresses the question of reception of the Holy Eucharist. Archbishop Cordiglione quotes from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 29. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily will have to answer for the body and blood of the Lord. A person should examine himself and so eat the bread and drink the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. To receive his Eucharistic body and blood, while repudiating essential doctrines of his mystical body, is to eat and drink judgment on oneself, Cortaleone writes. And St. Paul urged the members of his communities temporarily to exclude serious wrongdoers from their midst. The purpose of such exclusion is medicinal. It is intended to help the wrongdoer realize that he or she has wandered from Christ's fold by their ongoing evil behavior, he writes. To receive the Blessed Sacrament in the Catholic liturgy is to espouse publicly the faith and moral teachings of the Catholic Church and to desire to live accordingly, the good Archbishop states. In the fourth section, Catholics in Public Life, Archbishop Cortaleone calls all followers of Christ to heed the plea of St. Paul. Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect. He then notes, this is not easy for anyone, but it is especially challenging for Catholics in public life, whose careers depend in large part on popularity. I want to express profound gratitude to Catholics in public life who labor to protect the human dignity of each and every person, especially of the defenseless unborn. This effort requires great courage in our culture, and you are a source of inspiration and pride to your fellow Catholics. Then the Archbishop states, with regard to Catholics in public life who participate in abortion or seek to advance it through legislation or advocacy, precisely because these are actions of which many people are aware, it introduces another consideration, scandal. The Catechism of the Catholic Church defines scandal as an attitude or behavior which leads another to do evil. Prominent figures in society help to shape the mores of that society. And in our culture, their advocacy of abortion definitely leads others to do evil. This must be stated with clarity, Cortaleone writes. Anyone who actively works to promote abortion shares some of the guilt for the abortions performed because of their actions. But there is another source of scandal that pertains specifically to Catholics in public life. If their participation in the evil of abortion is not addressed forthrightly by their pastors, this can lead Catholics and others to assume that the moral teaching of the Catholic Church on the inviolate sanctity of human life is not seriously held. The Archbishop goes on to expound upon how the correction of dissenting Catholics can take several forms, including their exclusion from the reception of Holy Communion when all other corrective avenues have been exhausted. Cortaleone writes, speaking for myself, I always keep before me the words from the prophet Ezekiel. When I say to the wicked, you must die, and you do not speak up to warn the wicked about their ways, they shall die in their sins, but I will hold you responsible for their blood. I tremble that if I do not forthrightly challenge Catholics under my pastoral care who advocate for abortion, both they and I will have to answer to God for innocent blood. To my fellow Catholics who openly advocate for the legitimacy of abortion, I beg you to heed the perennial call to conversion God Himself addresses to His people down through the ages. I call heaven and earth today to witness against you. I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Choose life, then, that you and your descendants may live, by loving the Lord your God, obeying His voice, and holding fast to Him. While just clear and beautiful teaching there from a true shepherd of souls, Archbishop Salvatore Cortaleone, and very appropriate for this great feast of Corpus Christi. Keep praying for our bishops that they may be set on fire for love of Jesus in the Most Holy Eucharist. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'll be visiting my Carmelite daughter for a little break, so we'll air a previously recorded show next week. Let us continue to heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with the desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.